Today, the myth of the liberal global order. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and problem news with a distinctively Australian flavour. The ABC international affairs analyst Stan Grant published an article just before Christmas, which I found really interesting but also concerning, because he says that China sees itself as returning, not rising, to dominance. And he posed the question, why do we hear so much about the liberal global order when the truth is it never existed? It was never a global order and it was not liberal. He says the phrase itself is a modern invention coming into vogue really only in recent decades, yet it is presented as holy writ. In the past few weeks, this mythical order has been invoked as a means of dealing with a disruptive, authoritarian China. Australia's top diplomat, Francis Adamson, has said we need to reinforce a resilient, flexible and open system that can sustain peace in a more complex and competitive geopolitical era. Adamson, the head of the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, told the Australian National University's National Security College that we have entered an uncomfortable period for liberal democratic nations like Australia, but that the solutions are still to be found in global order. The promotion of this order accelerated after the end of the Cold War in the 1990s, a period of Western triumphalism when then and later that it was on the wrong side of history. This was hubris that assumed the supremacy and universality of liberal democratic values. Simply, it meant get with the system or get left behind. Singaporean former diplomat and political commentator Kishore Mahbubani has said this thinking may have done some serious brain damage to Western minds. He says the 1990s marked the end of Western domination and a turn to the rise of Asia, particularly China. Harvard University professor Joseph Nye has reminded us that American dominance was never as great as some myths make it out to be. The world, in fact, is not the West, and liberal values are not universally embraced. And critically, he says the post-1945 order was not global, it was American. Fewer than 10% of the global population lives in the West, yet Western nations have dominated global power. The post-1945 order was not global, it was American. It did not include the Soviet Union or China. The post-war institutions were controlled by the most powerful countries, what political scientist Michael Barnett has described as a club of liberal states with their own exclusive associations. These Western liberal democracies preach the virtue of liberty and freedom at home, yet when it suited their interests would support despots abroad. As Barnett put it, this was not a liberal world order, but a world order created for liberal states. The seed of this was sown after World War I and the foundation of the League of Nations. In his magnificent book, The 20-Year Crisis, 1919 to 1939, historian Edward H. Carr reveals a utopian vision of a world built on faith in liberal reason. Reason, it was believed, would banish war and govern politics. As Carr said, the wish is father to the thought. Leaders of the time believed that they could rewire human behaviour, put collective good above individual or national interests. It was always flawed, But as US President Woodrow Wilson said when asked about the League of Nations, if it won't work, it must be made to work. Of course, we know now that the world lurched again to the catastrophic war in 1939. Today, we can hear the echo of Wilson's words from those who insist that if the liberal order doesn't work, it must be made to work. China is an engine of economic growth and a rival to American power that is repressive, authoritarian, and harbors resentment at what it sees as a century of foreign humiliation. Joseph Nye says the so-called global order does not need to be revised, it needs to be replaced. As he wrote recently, it is not enough to think of exercising power over others, we must think of exercising power with others. This requires building stronger alliances with nations that share liberal values, or recognizing that old-style big power intervention is limited in a world where Russia and China are stronger. Nye says the Paris Climate Accords and the World Health Organization present opportunities for US-China cooperation, even as they continue their great power competition. Of course, that is easier said than done in a climate that has been called a new Cold War. As Michael Barnett writes, wanting a liberal international order and having an international order governed by liberal principles are two very different things. A politically realist view suggests that if we are to have anything akin to a global order in the 21st century, it cannot be an American-dominated order. If the old order is having problems, Barnett said, it is less to do with the weakening of liberalism and more to do with the need to overhaul the rules as power shifts from the West to the East. And mark this, China has not become like the West. Brookings Institution scholar Thomas Wright said global leadership has come at a great cost to America, not just abroad but at home. Americans, he says, had never been particularly enamored with the liberal international order. As he points out, Americans have wanted to pull back and expect other nations to share the burden. Wright rejects the idea that China or Russia can simply be accommodated into a global system. It is a fantasy, or at worst, a devil's bargain. China and Russia want more than just accommodation. The return to rivalry is inevitable, Wright says, a clash of the free world and a neo-authoritarian world. Maintaining a liberal order, he argues, completely misses the point. He prefers a free world strategy that preserves liberty at home and abroad. It means pushing back against neo-authoritarians, and it requires all measures short of general war. We are in a world with no easy choices, and utopian belief in universal liberalism is not the answer. Despite wishing it so, China has not become like the West. It has grown richer, stronger, and more authoritarian. It has not been on the wrong side of history. It is one of the liberal fantasies that we can vanquish history. The late historian Eric Hobsbawm wrote of the 20th century that the historical memory was no longer alive. Young people, Hobsbawm said, grew up in a permanent present in the late 1980s and early 1990s, an era in world history ended and a new one began. China and Russia have long, hard memories. History has never died there. Hobsbawm concluded his study of the 20th century, the age of extremes, with a warning. We may not know where we are going, but history has brought us to this point. And he said, we cannot prolong the past. If we do, we will fail. We must change, he said. Or the alternative to a changed society is darkness. And that is really the point, that if we persist with this view that we are right and everybody else is wrong, I think we're going to go down to a cul-de-sac. We have to find a different philosophy, a different approach, frankly, a different set of values, and recognize that the West is just one small part of a power play that is behaving globally, not locally. And that the West cannot win on just its own terms. That is a very disturbing but very important thought to set at the start of 2021. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.